Okay. No sniffs, no coughs.
Hey,
yes.
Never mind.
Never mind.
Never.
Disregarding.
That's a funny phrase. Mind your manners. Mind your parents. Never mind. Mm-hmm. I guess it means think about what your parents are saying.
Mind not.
Would you mind doing this?
Now that's a good one there to analyze.
Would you think about these things such that you would obey that? I don't. It's just weird.
Yes.
A lot of weird phrases we don't really think about very often.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be one of them.
I don't mind though.
I don't mind. Do you mind minding? Okay.
Welcome to the Piney Pastors Podcast, the elders meeting after show where we hang out to discuss theology and issues relevant to covenant members at Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri. It's like a Bible study, covenant members gathering, elders hangout, and talk show all wrapped up into one. And it's all about making disciples of Jesus Christ. So grab another cup of coffee and let's get started.
Welcome to another episode of the Piney Pastors Podcast.
The best
this
yet.
Is and it shall. Are you making a statement?
Mm-hmm.
Because Steve Haupt is not with us today, and Jason
that's
has
not
just
why it's the best.
Said that it's going to be the best yet. So
I, was saying it's the best
I assume
it's the most
that there's a connection.
No.
Steve is not with us, so you won't hear his voice today. I am Nathan Smith.
He's with us in spirit. I'm Jason Myers.
I'm Brian DeLay.
Yeah.
Yes. And actually, the occasion of Steve being gone is what prompted the topic for this podcast. We have a very extensive process through which we, by which we sort through what we're going to be talking about in our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It consisted of Brian the other day sending out an email asking what we would like to talk about. And he said, shall we roast Steve while he's out of town and can't defend himself or something else? And I replied and said, I was thinking we could talk about how we need to have a wartime mentality as Christians. Yes. Anyway, in regards to our faith. And I said, possible title, Why Vacations to Italy Are Sinful, in reference to the fact that Steve Haupt is right now, as we speak, in Italy
yes.
with his wife.
In Venice.
Sandy.
Celebrating their 40th wedding anniversary.
Mm, yep, yep. So we are excited that they are doing that. And I was, in that response, giving Steve the business, as the saying goes. Uh-huh. And but anyway, it turned into hopefully a helpful it turned a helpful corner in the email chain, and I think Jason suggested that maybe we actually do talk about vacations and the idea of having a wartime mentality and even what that means and if those things may be in tension, as I was kind of teasing Steve about mm-hmm. it. Is there a tension between us as believers having a wartime mentality in the way that we use our time and things and doing things like taking extravagant vacations
or even taking a nap
Italy or even taking a nap
yeah
for real
watching a movie or
mm-hmm. yeah. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. So maybe first of all, in our culture by and large, I don't think there's any real tension in people's minds about taking vacation. People often store up vacation time, look forward to vacation, work for vacation,
yeah.
look towards retirement as a really, really long vacation. And so I think for most people, there is no tension with the idea of vacation. So
life is about rest and recreation mm-hmm. and vacation.
Yeah. So why, from a biblical standpoint, could there be a tension for Christians in resting, whether it's taking a nap or taking a vacation?
Well, I'm thinking that people are wondering where in the Bible does it say that Jesus ever took a vacation? or where does it say that we should?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there might be that. But I also think there's just a general, sometimes overcorrection between, well, we should not be like the rest of the world. And whatever they do that they deem as good, we should deem as bad.
Mm-hmm.
And could be that. But I also think that there is a real sense in which people view and value and participate in resting and recreation and vacation in sinful ways. like you said, they can idolize it in a sense as though life, all of life is about that.
Is there maybe, let me ask it more particularly, is there anything in scripture that would actually lead us to believe that maybe taking a vacation could be wrong? Because, and maybe talk about the idea of wartime mentality, where that comes from, that phrase, and I didn't make that up, where that comes from and what is meant by that and where that idea might come from in scripture.
So you're asking,
where is there anything in scripture? And maybe there's not, but is there anything in scripture that might lead people to believe that taking a vacation could be wrong?
Yes. I'll answer that simply and say, yes, I think there are things in scripture where people can either misinterpret or misapply to say that. For instance, Ephesians 5:15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Verse 16, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. And I think of many other passages like the use of our time or working heartily as unto the Lord and having this kind of focus. We think of the Apostle Paul and how he went on these missionary journeys and he was sleepless. And went without food, was shipwrecked, was beaten, was scourged. And we think, that's following the path of not only Paul, but who was imitating Christ. Following Christ means a life of willing sacrifice and suffering, which is true. But I think that there's an overgeneralization of that and a misunderstanding of how to apply that. And it's like I said, it's true where there should be we should have a distinctly Christian view of vacations and rest, recreation and fun, but that it doesn't, that distinct view is not that it's all bad. And so I think there are different texts in scripture and different just theological ideas that are true, but aren't always applied well, or maybe applied too strictly, too narrowly, and give us that peace. And so I don't know if you're referring to this specifically, but John Piper has often talked about a wartime mentality.
I am.
You are.
Specifically referring to John Piper.
Dr. J.P. John Piper has talked about how in his book, Don't Waste Your Life, and in others, about how people in America, they live for the weekend, they live for their summer vacation, they live for retirement, and it ends up being a wasted life because they're living just for rest and for fun. And
everybody's working for the weekend.
That's right. That's right. And so to push against that, a kind of Americanized view of what life is all about and the apex of life is having a comfortable, financially secure and entertaining retirement, like that's what all of life is about. If we can reach that, then we've won. That's not true. Sometimes winning looks a whole lot like losing, and it looks like we are giving up on things and saying no to certain things and sacrificing certain things because we believe that other things are better and more important, even more satisfying than fun and vacation. But sometimes, like I said, and even I think John Piper himself would say that can be taken not too far, but too wrongly, maybe, and to think that the best use of the time, as Paul says in Ephesians 5, could mean that you, and actually I would argue that it does mean that you sleep at night and that you should rest. And Jesus even told his disciples to come away with me and rest a while. After they got back on from their missionary journey, sitting out in groups of two. And so there are times when we should do that. But all of life, looking at it as maybe, I guess I normally interpret that idea of having a wartime mentality of being willing and committed to sacrificing for a greater good and seeking the best things and doing all things on purpose intentionally, not necessarily meaning that in war, you can't imagine somebody who is actually in the middle of a battle saying, I'm just going to sit down and take a nap for a while, or I'm going to go over to here and just grab a bite to eat, or you know what, let's go on a vacation real quick, have some fun. Does that make any sense?
Right.
But seeing the war as bigger than just engage in the active fighting of a battle, I think can be helpful.
Yeah, so since there is an emphasis both in scripture on self-sacrifice, on not being comfortable with going with the flow, just the emphasis and the values of the culture in, you know, pursuing ease, pursuing rest, pursuing a long vacation with retirement. Since there is that emphasis, and there is in, you know, with probably in our circles, people that are likely to be listening to this, some have probably read Don't Waste Your Life, some have read Radical from David Platt. There are a couple more books out there along the same vein, just challenging that mindset, challenging the Americanized version of Christianity that says it's about your best life now. And most people's vision of their best life now includes a lot of vacation time and rest and leisure. So knowing that there is that side, that is that there's a reality that we can overindulge, we can waste time, that's something that scripture does caution us against. What are some things in scripture, some places in scripture that would give us reason to think that maybe it's okay that Steve's in Italy right now with his bride?
Which we're not neither confirming nor denying that is good or bad.
Right. we're trying to weigh this out. Steve's on trial here. Steve's vacation is on trial.
We will be the judge, jury, and executioners.
Yes,
okay.
Indeed.
Yeah.
We have patterns that have been created into our being, and made reference to this, Jason, going back to creation, where God worked, God created mm-hmm. for 6 days and then rested on the seventh. And in Exodus 20, he establishes the Sabbath for people to cease mm-hmm. Their work, to cease from their labor on that day. So pointing back to creation, then in Deuteronomy, there's a sense of it pointing to redemption. So a day that we rest in, celebrate God's creative work, his redemption. Jesus provides some clarification on what the Sabbath is in mm-hmm. Mark 2, I believe, saying that that man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is made mm-hmm. for man. And so we have that weekly pattern that God, in a sense, forces us to rest. We have the pattern, as
especially
you mentioned.
Especially every
just,
night.
Yeah, mm-hmm. just every night. Our bodies require it. Mm-hmm. I mean, God has created a chemical makeup in our body that requires sleep. And mm-hmm. so we see these patterns. And I would say, too, in order for us to be alert, in order for us to be vigilant, for
having
us to maintain this wartime mentality requires rest.
Mm-hmm.
And refueling.
And refueling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Just if you were to send a soldier out into battle, and the soldier's been out there for 6 months, a year straight, with no rest, no relaxation, no time for just restoring, he's not going to be a very effective soldier after a while.
And even most, I guess, specifically, if he didn't get refueling of actual, because again, in the middle of a gunfight, a firefight where you are shooting at other people, they're shooting at you, you don't stop and do anything else but try to defend your life and those around you. You're fighting for your cause and you're actually fighting. You don't take time to eat. You don't take time to go to the mm-hmm. bathroom. You don't take time to take a nap. But eventually, if that guy was left out for 6 months or a year, he would be dead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, because even if he wasn't shot by anybody else,
right.
just by the very fact that he is human, God created us limited mm-hmm. and therefore in need of these things.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of the differences between what we're talking about and kind of the Americanized version of rest is so often that version is related to escape. Escaping from reality, escaping mm-hmm. from the challenges and problems,
even from work itself, it being bad. Yeah, it's
yeah,
a necessary
yeah.
evil.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we're not talking about escape. We're talking right. about a time of replenishment, time of rest, of being restored,
mm-hmm. refueling, so that and re-energized, so that you can be about the work. And sometimes the work doesn't. By work, I don't mean it's necessarily your 9 to 5, but that all of life is to be lived in service of others. But God is the only one, and this is part of this, to me, the kind of the crux of it all, is that God is the only one who doesn't actually need rest, doesn't mm-hmm. need refueling, doesn't need anything,
yeah.
doesn't need anyone, and that so that he gets the unique position of that, and our joy is found in him, his fullness, and not in our fullness, because we are constantly leaking, we are like buckets with holes in it, and we need to be recharged and refocused, re-energized, and God doesn't. And so we go to him over and over and over and over again, daily, constantly. And that there should be this constant rhythm of every time we're going to do some activity that God has called us to do, whether it's, you know, loving our spouse or our children, loving our neighbor, other people in our church, the person in need, or whatever, whoever we're serving at whatever point, that expends some energy, some mm-hmm. emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual energy. And God's saying, you do that, you should be trusting me for that. my energy to work through you. However, at the same time, you are still human and you need to be recharged. And so come back to me again and again and again and again. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we get a God complex. And I think that dishonors God when we think, I won't rest. I can't rest because mm-hmm. There's too much to be done. God says, you know, that your heartbeat, the very breath in your lungs is up to me. You're not in control of that. And so humble yourself, submit to me, and come away and rest for a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the prime example of that, that is what God desires for us to do, is in Christ, in his time on the earth, repeatedly throughout the Gospels, you see him having times of intense ministry, exhausting ministry, but then trying to get away and spend time to be refreshed, and a lot of times people sought him out while he was trying to rest and be refreshed and spend time alone with the Father. But he was aware that he needed that, aware that he needed to spend time away. And it wasn't because he was escaping in an unhealthy way. Obviously, his entire life on earth here was a ministry, but he recognized that he had stepped into a created body, and mm-hmm. created bodies need rest, need refreshing. And so even in that and in the other things you guys have said, there is, I think Steve is justified in taking a vacation. And there is another aspect, especially in Steve's case, in taking a vacation, there is the desire for Steve. I'm sure Steve is having a wonderful time, but the primary reason that Steve is in Italy is that his wife wanted to go to Italy. And so Steve being willing to do that, to spend time, to spend money, to honor and bless his wife, is a way of displaying Christ's love for his bride, the church. Mm-hmm. And so there is that as well, especially for, you know, a couple taking a vacation to celebrate an anniversary.
Or a family taking a vacation with your mm-hmm. kids and things, that there's a lot of work sometimes, especially when you take young right. kids. It's not always a restful yeah. time. It's
yeah, right.
You're serving your family. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So if we're going to say that it's okay to take vacations, and I think we are saying that, we would also say that there are right ways and wrong ways, ways that are helpful,
for sure.
Ways that are unhelpful. So maybe first talk about some ways of thinking about vacation, viewing vacation. You've kind of already hinted at some of these, but maybe just drill down a little bit more. Ways that are unhelpful or unhealthy, unbiblical, even ways to think or to experience vacation.
For me, practically, just looking back on family vacations and some that went well and some that did not, the ones that went well were the ones that were truly restful. We went on a number of family vacations, Kirsten and I and the kids, where we came back and exhausted. We looked forward to going to work so we could rest. And so not exhausting yourself. I think looking back on those vacations, the ones where we were active, you know, we had some recreation and it was fun. It was a great time, whether it was hiking or doing some mountain biking or whatever. And that was great. But just simply not overdoing it. You know, making mm-hmm. making time to rest.
Don't try to fit in those times.
Yeah. And also not having such high expectations. Several times on vacation, we just became frustrated because things weren't working out, or the kids weren't behaving or whatever, exactly mm-hmm. the way that we had hoped and we had planned. And that wasn't very helpful. So going yeah. into it with just lower expectations and keeping your eyes on what the ultimate goal is.
Yeah.
And that it's not to have this perfect dream vacation, but it is to rest and
yeah.
be replenished.
Yeah, that's good. I think as with many things in life, we can hope for too much and put hope in things that should only be in Christ and in his restoration of all things
mm-hmm.
at the end of the age. And
so our best life is not now.
Right. Yeah. We can yeah. expect vacation to be what we'll only have in eternity. And so when we put that kind of burden on it, just like all other idols that we put that kind of burden on, it's going to disappoint. It's going to come crashing yeah. down.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say just the two other kind of ways to not take a vacation is, one, don't take it with guilt. thinking, like, that's part of what we're saying, mm-hmm. is that mm-hmm. if you are just feeling guilty the whole time and you say, you try to do as much work as you can while you're there, or, you know, I can answer some emails, or I'll get on my phone real quick. And if you are doing that, it shows again that you're not really resting in Christ. Mm-hmm. God's not enough for me. He can't handle it without me. They need me. I'm indispensable. And no. So I think that it's feeling free in Christ by the grace of God to say, I should rest, because God, I'm taking time away from doing what I normally do, helping other people, serving in different ways, leading or working hard and doing these things, because I don't hold this world together. And so my rest is a way of worshiping you that you do. So it's relying on him to do mm-hmm. that. So one
real quick, I just throw this in there because I'll forget it if I don't. It could be that someone may have a sense of guilt on their vacation because they're not living. They're not serving people. They're not giving. Yeah. They're not living as if they're in this battle, and so they go on vacation, realizing that they're actually not living the way that God would call them to. And so there's a sense of guilt, because it's like, I haven't really been working in terms of what God has called me to do as a believer, and now I'm resting even from that. And so part of vacationing without guilt is actually, when you're not resting, doing what God has called you to do, to be pursuing with all your strength the life that God has called you to in Christ.
Yeah, so
that it gives you the freedom to rest.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Time
and
to.
And so I think that, we should never feel like we've worked hard enough so we can earn our vacation. Mm-hmm. We can earn our resting time.
Right.
As much as it's a gift of God's grace.
Yeah.
But we don't want to presume upon it and waste it in that sense. So that I would say, not wasting your vacation. John Piper also, I remember one time he talked about, it was an article about Christ. I have my alarm going off. Sorry.
About how you should silence your phone when you're on vacation.
It's silent. It's just my alarm is loud. I don't know why.
Some nice background music.
Called Christless Leisure, and how Christless Leisure basically shrivels our soul.
Mm-hmm.
That there is a kind of vacationing and resting that we need physically. Yes. So we do actually just eat food. We rest physically. But if we go, when we spend an entire week or 2 weeks or whatever it is on vacation, and we think it's a vacation from reading our Bibles, from praying, from loving our family, just I get to be selfish for a while.
Right.
Then that itself is, I think, going to be worse than mm-hmm. when you first left.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's I get some me time. No, the whole point of this is I'm going to glorify Christ by resting, recognizing my need and limitations.
Mm-hmm.
But even Jesus, when he goes off to pray in the middle, when it's still dark out in the morning and people clamor around him and they find him, he doesn't say, "It's just me time. Right. Get out of here." He says,
mm-hmm.
"Okay, I will serve you." And so when you go on vacation, don't say it's about me.
Mm-hmm.
Say it's about Christ, which means I'm going to serve my family, or I'm going to serve my spouse, or I'm going to serve the people I'm around.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, when you do that and you are seeking Christ, to have communion with him in his word and prayer, and you're seeking to serve him, honor him by serving others, you will be more re-energized and refocused, I think, than if you just said, "No, I'm going to just read my novel here by the pool and you guys go off, do your own thing, leave me alone," type of thing. Again, not that it's wrong to read a novel or to rest, but if your attitude, your heart is one of, it's about me, not about Christ, and how to honor him with those around you, then I think that you are doing both God and your family, those around you, and your soul a very great disservice.
Yeah, a good picture of that is the story you mentioned earlier from Mark 6, where Jesus says, you know, come away to a desolate place and rest. And it was immediately thereafter that people started showing up, 5,000 that had to be fed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so there was still this willingness to serve.
Yeah, for sure.
So you preempted my next question, but I will forgive you, and
I'll ask it
anyway. What are some good and godly ways to take vacation? We were talking about some ways that are not good, but what are some maybe just real practical, like, this has been helpful for you and your family in taking vacation to help it to not be Christless, to help it to be focused on Christ, to help it to actually be refreshing for returning with renewed vigor and diligence to the mission of living this life that God has called us to.
Well, I think you only go to places that the Bible talks about. So you can go to Rome.
Okay.
That's
okay.
The Bible. You can go to Jerusalem.
Do a Holy Land tour.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That's the only way I think.
Not Cancun.
Yeah. Way. No, you can't go to Cancun. Hawaii is not in the Bible, so you can't go there.
Yeah. Well, there was the Lost Tribe that came over to, you know, North America. That, no?
Oh, no, that's, no, I think that's the other book that you're thinking of, okay. Not the Bible.
Right.
Hey, total rabbit trail here, but I read a little biography of Meriwether Lewis, of Lewis and Clark, and part of the reason that they were sent by President Thomas Jefferson across our great nation was that Jefferson believed that they would discover the lost tribe of Israel.
No kidding. Way. Wow.
It was a prevalent myth at that time.
That's anyway, interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, cool.
What did I ask?
You asked about Meriwether Lewis. And why did they name him Meriwether? Why is Thomas Jefferson?
Yes. And I was wondering what some helpful.
Yeah,
and,
that's it. That's
and
it.
Godly ways of taking a vacation.
Yeah. I would say this is a really good opportunity for men who are married with families to take the initiative. I think so often we have a tendency to, to refer back to Piper. He did an Ask Pastor John some point a while back talking about vacation and how we as men, we tend to get to May 31st and our wives ask us, so what are we doing for vacation tomorrow? They just kind of have to drag us along. So just as Jesus recognized the need for the disciples coming off of being sent, recognizing that they needed time away, they needed rest, I think we as husbands, as fathers, need to recognize that as well. And so being intentional about planning for times of rest, planning for vacation, and not just leaving that to our wives is a good start.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. I think in part, doing what we've already talked about, just making sure that when you go on vacation, that your desire is to serve and to bless those around you. We just don't get a vacation from, there's never a vacation from loving people. And if we have a desire to do that, then we have a wrong desire. So have it in your mind that we're going to go and pray that God will give you fun. He'll give you opportunities to rest physically. And yes, but go with a mindset of how can I love my wife or my spouse, my family well? How can we be a blessing to those that we're going to be with or whatever? And then I think, as I mentioned earlier, you talked about if you go on vacation and you realize, you know what, I am guilty of not really having a wartime mentality. I'm most of my days are spent being selfish and not living for the kingdom growth in any way. And I think that what you should do is use times on vacation to the best as you can to evaluate, to pray, to refocus. And to say, you know what, if you, like you said, Brian, don't plan something for every hour of the day because you won't have any time for this and it won't be restful.
Right. But instead of trying to we have 7 days, I have to maximize that amount of time.
Right. Yeah. Well, maximize quality, but not necessarily quantity of what you're going to do. Yeah. So to say, let's get the best out of this. By part of that means we're going to have a day where we don't do anything. Mm-hmm. Or part of that time, we're going to read, we're going to talk, we're going to pray. I think that one thing that I haven't done a great job at that I want to do on vacations and this year and in the future is being more proactive about, and I have to do this, like Brian, as you said, plan intentionally, but to do some kind of focused family worship time on vacation and not just say, well, we're on vacation, so we're going to take a break from all that is good for our souls and our family is just stupid. Yeah. So let's use it wisely.
Yeah.
I just was thinking about, I mentioned this, I think, to you the other day, Jason, that in our church body we have a large number of, and I don't know if it's large in comparison to the rest of the population, it seems like it though, of families or individuals that run their own business, that whether it's a family business or they've started a business or whatever. My dad ran a business my whole life, still does, and so I know that comes with its own challenges in terms of taking a vacation, because you can say that you're earning vacation time from your own business, but especially if it's something where
you don't get paid vacation.
Yeah,
that
you
way.
Don't. Right. Yeah, you don't work, you don't get paid. That kind of deal. It can become challenging to take vacation. So, do you guys have any words of wisdom for those that might be in that situation that just, you know, it's not like they get 2, 3, 5 weeks from their company every week of paid vacation time, but might just have to take it wherever they can get
it. Did you just say they get 2 or 3 or 5 weeks every week?
Did I? Maybe I did.
You said every week.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Every week you vacate, every week you work, you get 2, 3, 5 weeks of vacation. That's a great job. I think you meant every year.
I bet that no one is receiving those kind of benefits, but maybe 2, 3, or 5 weeks per year.
Okay.
Per annum.
Yeah. I was just thinking, one, I know that it's a challenge in ways that I don't understand because I've never owned my own business. Mm-hmm. And if you are, especially if it's smaller and you don't have anybody else to run things when you're gone, and you got to put things on hold, then I think you'd have to do intentional planning, like you said, not just wait till May 31st, but start probably.
You did grow up in a home where...
Yes, I did. My dad was running his own business, and so he didn't get paid when he didn't work, for sure. So planning for it a year in advance by saying, I have to set aside money for this. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that means the money not just to pay for the vacation itself, but for the money you're going to need because you're not working. Mm-hmm. And so set that money aside. And it might mean that you don't take extravagant vacations. And again, the point isn't, I don't feel like I have to. I think it's great to travel, and I would love to. But if I don't get to this side of Christ's return, I will after. We will be a part of the new heaven, the new earth, and we will get to enjoy the fullness of God's creation as it is intended, without the dangers, without the anxieties, frustrations of missing my flight or being delayed or whatever, or losing luggage or the kids being crazy or the husband and wife bickering about things, that there will be a perfect way to have a Christ-full vacation for all eternity. And so going with that in mind, sometimes it means, you know what? What we need is we need some family time, we need some rest time, and it doesn't have to be too crazy expensive. And so sometimes you have to think that way too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say too that exhaustion is a cumulative thing. Mm-hmm. And so somebody might not be able to plan a week or two vacation, you know, once a year because they're running their own business. And so they may have to spread that out. And so being intentional about having a date night with your wife where you unplug, you leave the cell phone in the car.
Family day with the kids, yeah.
Yeah, family day with the kids. Go to the park, go hiking, and just be very intentional about this is going to be a time of replenishment. I'm not going to take my phone with me. I'm not going to think about business. I'm not going to talk about business.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have a time of rest and rejuvenation.
Even personal solitude time or days.
Yeah.
Where if you can do that if you have a vacation day or a time where you can, like you said, just not work today. I need to spend time reading, praying. You're just resting.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there's a cumulative effect of that as well in countering exhaustion.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, that is really good. And that takes faith because, you know, when you turn off your phone, especially if you're running a business, you're thinking about how many calls am I missing right now? Who's getting upset? What customer am I not going to have because I'm not taking this call? And so it's really trusting that God is able to provide more work, able to...
And how much work am I going to have because I'm not answering it now? How many emails am I going to have when I return?
Or, yeah.
Right.
That it's going to be okay and I can take it step by step. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I was talking with one of our covenant members last week and he was sharing that he runs his own business and he went on vacation and he spent time praying beforehand that God would make it restful and that his phone wouldn't be blown up. He had his phone with him. It was on, but didn't get a call. Soon as he got back, his phone started blowing up with tons of work. And And so God was just gracious in that. He may not work that way for everyone every time, but he can. And so, and even if he doesn't, you know, we need to trust that he will provide because he has promised to do that. And I think your word about taking simple vacations is good. We my dad's businesses were not always lucrative growing up. We always had all that we needed, but didn't have a whole lot of extra money. So we had this old brown van and he built a like a cabinet for the back of it to put all our stuff in and it folded out or you could cook on it. We just took a driving trip like through the Appalachian Mountains and it was great. It was a great trip. Mm-hmm. We didn't, I don't even know if we stayed in a hotel or anything, but it was just, time together. And that's really, for families, that's a huge part of it, is just spending time together and doing day trips, day, local staycations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the cool word, staycations. There's lots of stuff to do in St. Louis, and yeah, just use the resources that God has given. And
but you got to be intentional. Yeah.
Yeah.
No matter what you do.
Yep. Well, I think that wraps up this discussion, and I believe that we have agreed. The verdict is that Steve
is absolved of all wrongdoing.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm.
And thanks, Steve, for giving us this opportunity to talk about it. And yes. Sandy, thank you both.
Yes, indeed.
You guys have a great time.
Thank you for listening. We have a new podcast each week, so be sure to subscribe on iTunes. For more information about Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri, visit us online at pineyridgechurch.org. That's P-E-I-N-E, ridgechurch.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Piney Ridge. That's all for today. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning.